ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I don't really know what we're supposed to do, to be honest. You know, we've been preparing for this for a long time. You know, we've put a lot of time and effort into how we prepare for every series, and that hasn't changed with this one.
England skipper Ben Stokes on how his side has been preparing for the upcoming Ashes series. The visitors are doing it differently to the Australians, almost all of whom are playing Shield cricket as we speak. So will the English be ready come day one in Perth? That's just one question being asked of this England side. How many injury clouds are too many? What kind of contributions can Archer and Wood actually make? And is this the year that Joe Root finally makes 100 in Australia? All those questions boil down to one thing. Can this England team win the Ashes back on Australian soil? I'm Poppy Penny and this is ABC Sport Daily. Jonathan Agnew is a former English Test cricketer and is now a well-renowned broadcaster who'll be part of the ABC Summer of Cricket calling the Ashes. England released their squad some time ago, but they're all here now training in Perth. The batters, Brook, Crawley, Duckett, Pope, Root and Smith. The all-rounders, Stokes, Bethell, Cass and Jax. And finally, the bowlers, Archer, Wood, Atkinson, Potts, Bashir and Tung. Aggers, I want to go broad first. What were your initial thoughts when you saw the squad?
I think it was more or less what was expected, actually. I mean, the main news was that Stokes was fit. You know, these things are announced a bit ahead of time, but, you know, the fact that he is fit and he's here and he's playing is obviously really good news. I don't think really there are too many surprises. Bashir, the spinner, there's some talk about that, and Will Jax, who bowls a bit of spin, is a batsman. Really, I'm not too sure how much of a part English spin will play in this series. So I think, again, the spinner was kind of glossed over. But the pace bowlers, Archer and Wood, that's the spearhead.
You know, the X factor that Joff and Woody possess in terms of pace, it's great seeing those two flying in. But yeah, look, at the moment, from a fast bowling point of view, the guys that we've picked are all in a really, really good place.
Cass, I think, is an excellent backup bowler, and so too Atkinson. I think they'll do some work. And those four quick bowlers, along with Ben Stokes, I suspect will form most of England's attack during the series.
So England haven't been subtle with their plan, particularly when it comes to the bowlers. It's pace, pace and more pace. And I want to kind of get into the headline acts of that attack. And that's Mark Wood and Jofra Archer. Archer has played two tests in 4 years and Mark Wood has also had injury woes of late. Can they hold up this summer to have the impact that England will need them to?
Well, that's the real question. And I think the answer to that is nobody knows. Nobody knows. I'm in Sydney at the moment. I've got a friend in Perth who's been watching the nets and the warm-ups, and he said that Archer's bowling very quickly. Wood is sort of more gingerly getting his way back into... I mean, he hasn't played since February. He hasn't bowled a ball. So there are big question marks about them, no doubt about it. They will definitely not play five tests. Whether they can spread them out and get four between them, as in both of them playing two, that sounds a more realistic thing. Archer looked fit last summer. They're interesting, these two. I mean, Mark Wood is a... tear in, bowl as fast as you can, 95 miles an hour, effort, every ball. Whereas Archer isn't really quite like that. Archer is more occasional, or some spells 93 miles an hour now. And then you might get a spell of 83 out of him. And that's not through lack of effort. And people could be a bit critical of him for that. But it's not. It's just he's a real rhythm bowler. Silky run-up and easy action. And so sometimes it comes out better than others, basically. But he's dangerous, as Steve Smith will tell you. And so those two are backed up by Cass and by Atkinson and by Stokes, who's a good bowler. Then England will have an attack that they can rotate during the Ashes. Now, there's a big gap between tests one and two. And, of course, that's a day-night game. They'll look to be playing their quick bowlers for that. Then there's actually quite a sizable gap again between Brisbane and Adelaide. It's really Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney that come at a rush with Christmas and New Year in between. And so those are the games I suspect you'll see more management.
Every time Joe Root comes down under, the same question gets asked. Can he make runs in Australia? Batting coach Marcus Trescothick thinks that he's a different player than he has been in the past.
Well, I think the way he's gone in the last couple of years will probably explain that, you know, he'd be very comfortable with what he's trying to do at the moment and how he's playing his game. Hence the reason where he is on the rankings of what it is.
So is this the year that Joe Root makes runs in Australia?
I'll be astonished if he doesn't. I mean, there'd be two reasons for that. A, he's just out of form and it doesn't happen, which is very rare these days. Or Australia have got some sort of plan for getting him out. And if they have done that, they've done well, because really the last 3 or 4 years, no one else has.
Absolutely. He's the greatest, you know, English batter that the nation's seen. He's been in phenomenal form over the last 2-3 years. And in his words, you know, he's not come out here to score 100 in Australia. He's come out here to contribute to this team winning.
I think Root's an extraordinary player in that, of course, he lost the captaincy and it was the start of all the Bazball stuff of Cullum and Stokes getting together. What Root has done very successfully, and it's not easy for former captains, he's just moved quietly into the background, a very, very respected player, of course. He's just got on with his batting and he's become now a formidable run machine.
There you go. Number two on the list is Joe Root as he goes past the great Ricky Ponting. Now only behind Sachin Tendulkar.
If he doesn't get that long searched for 100 here and more besides, I'll be very surprised. I don't know quite how England's batting is going to do. I think England and Australia have got the same sort of fragility about their batting, and that can put pressure on somebody like Root and someone like Steve Smith. But Root is just of that mindset now where he is able to block everything out. He's accepted people. And what's really remarkable is that when Stokes and McCullum came together and there was that really exciting year or so of Bazball and stuff, and everybody's saying, wow, what a change. How refreshing this is. So much better than it was before. Oh, sorry, Joe, you're sitting over there in the corner. He's managed to sort of accept all that. And he's bought into the new way of playing, although he's a bit confused to start with. I think he played some rash shots to start with, just trying to show that he was part of it. These days, he's just playing in the Joe Root way. And yeah, I would wager on him scoring a lot of runs this summer.
Yeah, I think the Joe Root ramp took us all by surprise when Bazball started to come in. There's been a change in...
Well, it was silly, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was silly, yeah.
Yes, it was. We were all very confused watching that. But there's been a change in vice captaincy for England, and Reid's regularly been Ollie Pope supporting Ben Stokes. But for this tour, it'll be Harry Brook, and that sparked all kinds of debate that Pope's position at three is in jeopardy. That seems to have been put to bed this week. Why the change, do you think?
Well, it's just really because Harry Brook is the white ball captain, and I think they're trying to make that a seamless thing. But you're right, it does make it easier to drop Pope if they want to play Bethell instead. Now, Jacob Bethell's an interesting character, born up in Barbados. There's not a coach who I've talked to about Bethell who doesn't say anything other than he is a really outstanding talent. However, he hardly played a game of cricket all last summer. He just carried the drinks. He played one test match at the end of the summer against India and batted horrendously, like a man who had no idea what his game is. And I think that's fair. I think as a young player, bowler or batsman, you do have to learn what your game is, and you can therefore employ it. You know, you turn to it and you know where you are at moments of difficulty, which it was when Bethell batted against India. There was a bit of a crisis on and he really had no idea how to cope.
Bolden, could see it coming. The pressure was building.
Well, well, well. They live on India, and they live on because of the pressure being built on a young player new into Test match cricket.
And then there was this absurd quote from Rob Key, who runs English cricket, saying that Jacob Bethell's shown extraordinary leadership skills in his time with the England team. So he captained the England T20 team to Ireland when Brook had some time off. You think, what leadership skills has he possibly shown? You know, it just seems to me they're putting so much pressure on this young man, who everyone says is an outstanding talent. Well, let him find his game, you know, let him play some cricket. I mean, he must have been so frustrated during the summer just carrying drinks around and not playing for Warwickshire. You think, just let him play. He's no doubt a very talented player, but Pope has done it. Pope owns the place. And I think it would have kicked off a real debate if Pope, who has been a very good vice captain to Ben Stokes, he's captained him at short notice when Stokes has been injured and so on. He's a lovely player. He's a bit jittery, a bit nervy at number three, jumps around a bit, and the Aussies will be onto him for that. But when he gets in, he's a beautiful player. And so he thoroughly deserves to start at three.
We're sort of a week or so out from that first test, and this is about the time where former players, and in this case, Ian Botham and Michael Vaughan, start voicing their opinions on how the preparation's gone and how they would be doing it.
Well, it's not the way I would prepare. I think historically, you have to acclimatise when you come down here.
They've been vocal that England's preparation and lack of Red Bull cricket in the lead-up compared to Australia, who are almost all playing domestic cricket currently. Ben Stokes kind of shot that down yesterday.
Yeah, the schedule's pretty jam-packed to be able to prepare, I think, how teams probably would have done 10, 20, 30 years ago as well. So I think there's a lot of factors that have changed over the years of cricket.
Do you think the England team is ready to change their fortunes on Australian soil?
I think that's a really difficult question. I mean, Botham and Vaughan are not alone in saying that one game against England's second 11, which is what the Lions is not adequate preparation for what they're going to get in Perth on the first day of that test match. And if they, for those who haven't toured here particularly, that is going to be a massive wake-up call. There's never been a preparation as low-key as this. Now, Ben Stokes will say to me, and I'll be interviewing him the day before the game, it's a different game now, Aggies, you don't understand how it is, blah, 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 blah. And I say, yeah, okay. But I'll say to him, Ben, this is an opportunity for you and your last opportunity and for a number in this squad to come to Australia and win the Ashes. At the end of it, you have to be able to look in the mirror and say to yourselves, you've given it everything. You've given it your best possible shot. Will you look back at a three-day game against the Lions as your sole preparation as being adequate? Now, it depends how they play, but they're taking a hell of a risk. There's a lot of England support coming out here. I mean, as many as 40,000 people coming out. And all I would say to Ben and the others is that if they come here, predominantly, but not exclusively, obviously, for Melbourne and Sydney, if they come out here and it's all done, and they've had a knockabout against the Lions, and there's even talk of them not playing in the Prime Minister's match between Perth and Brisbane, which is a pink ball game, preparation for the pink ball test match in Brisbane. Word is that the England players aren't going to go and play in that. They're going to send their second 11 players off. If they're 2-0 down on that preparation, I think it'll kick off. It's just experience will say that's not good enough. When we last won here, 10-11, England played against West Australia, South Australia, Australia A, who they beat in Hobart, and they went to Brisbane ready. They didn't lose that test. It was a hard-fought game. They fought really hard to save it, and they did, and they went on to win the Ashes. I would say, and I would argue, based on that really deep, worthwhile preparation that they had, this time, I don't know. But there'll be plenty of people who, if they fail in Perth, will say, well, hardly surprising, is it? You had a three-day knockabout against the Lions. That batsman there failed in the first innings for England, so you battered him for the Lions. He's, you know, it's not going to be a first-class game. And I don't care what Ben Stokes says about that. You cannot. He used a rather extraordinary expression, balls to the wall. I've never heard that before, but it sounds painful. That does not sound like that sort of preparation to me. They're going to have to prove everybody wrong.
Because it's a long, hot day in the hot Australian sun if the series is done and dusted after the third test, that's for sure. You mentioned Ben Stokes, and I want to finish on him. He's the leader of this team. He's been battling injury, but he is available, they say. He is available and ready to go. How important is his presence going to be in securing an Ashes victory for England on Australian soil?
100%. If he's not there, and I mean, I'm not sure if he'll play every game, but he'll still have a key influence. 100%. He's an outstanding captain, extraordinary leader. He's just got a great cricketing brain. He leads from the front. He's an outstanding cricketer. And to answer your question, I just don't see England winning without Stokes.
Jonathan Agnew will be with ABC Sport for the summer of cricket, calling the Ashes, along with Jim Maxwell, who you're flying around the country with for Angel Flights for a little bit of this summer. Yes. As well, which is quite an incredible thing that you guys are doing. And oh, to be a fly on the wall in that plane as you guys are flying around Australia to all sorts of regional places. But Aggies, it all gets underway next Friday. Enjoy the cricket and enjoy the flying.
Thank you very much indeed, Poppy. I certainly will.
Headlines. Confirmation that Josh Hazlewood will travel to Perth as planned for the first test after a scare in the Sheffield Shield yesterday. The news isn't so good for fellow fast bowler Sean Abbott, who has been ruled out of that test with a hamstring complaint. Melbourne Cup winning jockey Jamie Mellum has been suspended for 30 race meetings after pleading guilty to careless riding after an incident on Cup Day that caused fellow jockey Blake Shin to fall and break his leg. She'll be able to return to riding on December 18. AFL and the 2026 men's fixture dropped today. I will not be going through all the ins and outs because who has time for that? What I will tell you is that Thursday nights are back in 2026 and there are six Friday night double headers. Huge. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Phil Pryor. Thanks to the England and Wales Cricket Board and Fox Cricket for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.